biggest conversation. LBC 97.3.
It started in quite a prosaic way, actually. It was 2009 and everyone was talking about staycations. And I didn't have much money, yeah. And I wanted to have a week's holiday. And I'd always been on the Thames as a canoeist and sailor as a youth with the Westminster Boating Base. And I was commuting to work over the Thames every day, as so many of us do. And it was just there, sort of glittering out of the window. And I thought I could sail around it, or sail and row, because you can't sail on the canals, of course.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say you have a love affair of the Thames? Because reading parts of your book, it's almost like, and there's a bit where you're looking out of the train window, I think, and it's just this kind of like, you know, there's my water, it's my river.
I do think of it as my river, which I realise is ridiculous. But yeah, I do. I grew up on the Thames. I think a lot of London kids grow up, probably any number of ways, but I grew up spending every Sunday, most weeknights, canoeing and sailing on the Thames. So they're my streets, if you like.
The streets of your city, that really comes across. I mean, I'll let you describe it because you did the adventure and the journey, but this literally was a small boat. Just explain in a bit more detail about the craft.
It was a 15-foot sailing dinghy, which is also very good to row, very light, because I was worried I might have to haul it around a lock that doesn't work. You can't sleep in it, so I had to cadge places to pitch my tent every night or hope that people would let me stay at their houses. But it's a very beautiful boat. I think all boats should be beautiful, and this one is. It hasn't changed much since the Viking days of design. It's wooden, and it has cream sails.
Just tell us about your journey. Where did you start from?
I started in Surbiton, which is west of the city. Sailed down river to Brentford Lock. And Brentford is where the Grand Union Canal system joins the Thames. So I got my oars out at that point and rowed through something like 20 or 30 locks, I forget exactly how many, to Limehouse in East London.
Yeah.
Through Bow Creek, which looks a bit like an intestine. You see it in the EastEnders credits. Back onto the Thames, east a bit to make a circuit around the barrier because it's such a glorious thing. And then west, all the way back to the start point in Surbiton.
Many people talk about the barrier in such glowing terms as you just have. Why is it so magical to you?
To me, it's magical because it's allegorically, it's the gateway to a sort of magic city, and it glows silver in the sun and all that sort of stuff. But also for practical purposes, it was built because it had to be, not for any vanity. And to me, that makes it a marvel.
And I mean, a tremendous amount of physical exertion. You very breezily just explained, you know, I rode here and I went here and stuff. But I mean, physically, that's quite demanding stuff.
It was a pretty lazy trip. I only set myself a target of about 7 or 8 miles a
right.
day. And I also got the outboard motor out from time to
time. Yes.
Because it was never supposed to be a trial. It was supposed to be fun. So no, it wasn't a hard trip at all.
And when you told people you were doing this, your mates and your family, what was their reaction to it all? It's not every day you think, do you know what, I'm going to do this. It's my river. It's my city. I'm going to go around London in a small boat. What was the reaction of your mates and your relatives?
I think they've given up trying to guess anyway. So they weren't that surprised. They just said, yeah, okay, I'll get on with it. And one of my friends came to entertain me for a night in a pub, which is great because you can get quite lonely in the middle of London.
Yes. Bizarrely. But interestingly, you travelled with salami and malt whiskey, I read.
Absolutely. I thought I deserved it.
I think so. I mean, one of the things we're talking about this morning on LBC 97.3 are these parts of London that we simply don't see for whatever reason. It could be because you commute to work on a train like you did. It's very clear there are parts of the city that when you go round by boat on the Thames that you spot and you see that other people won't be aware of. So just give me a couple of examples of places in London that are quite, I suppose, quite dear to you, but also you could only spot from your small boat.
Well, you do see the hidden rivers emptying into the Thames. There's the Ephra, which empties outside the weird-looking MI6 building.
Yes.
And that, actually, when I was 14, we used to get out there on a summer's day and go for a swim. That was our favourite beach. I'm not sure if you're still allowed to these days. But if you're a walker and you want to see a bit of secret London, there are still great things to see. Get the tube to Richmond, go down to the river, and you'll see a man building traditional boats on the towpath, which he's still legally allowed to do. That's Mark Edwards, who built the Queen's Royal Row Barge.
Okay.
And you'll just see him there doing his stuff.
Yeah.
Try not to talk to him too much, because he's too friendly for his own good and he's very busy. What else? You can do a lovely walk down the River Lee. Not many people do that.
No.
That was the great industrial river where so many things were invented. The first modern rifle was invented on the banks of that river. And there are some good pubs there. Anchor and Hope is one of London's last proper old lino floored dartboard sort of pub.
Sounds like a proper boozer. I mean, clearly, when you're on such a journey, you know, we know, don't we? Because even if we just take a pleasure cruise or whatever, there are some very good pubs on the banks of the Thames.
Mm. And the other thing I'd say, it's no secret, but if you haven't seen the barrier, get a boat from Victoria Embankment and go and have a look at it. It's completely incredible. Much better than Tower Bridge, I think.
Tell me this. I mean, do you think that we appreciate the River Thames?
No, I think it's quite well understood that it's underused. It would be nice to see it used more in a sort of leisure way, and there are plenty of rowing clubs and sailing clubs in the Thames where you can do that. There's always been talk of opening it up more for commuter traffic. It's never quite happened. I know the clipper catamarans are trying, but their route is pretty limited. I think we could definitely use it a lot more.
Do you think it's a mindset thing? I think you're right, because it's so obvious. You've got this river that you can get to most parts of the capital on it. And yet, you know, we've got the bikes. You know, obviously we've got the tube and stuff. We've got the buses. But it's kind of like it's something so obvious. You just wonder why it hasn't been fully utilised.
Well, I think a lot of people see the Thames as a dark, frightening river.
Yeah,
it's always been seen that way through history, and there's all this nonsense about hidden currents that'll pull you under. It's all absolute rubbish. I've swum in the Thames for years. That might be part of it. It might be a lack of will on the part of new enterprises to set up transport networks. I couldn't honestly tell you.
And, I mean, from your whole journey around London in a small boat, I mean, it was the one defining moment for you, because I read a lot of these, I would call them adventure books or travel books or whatever, and you do get a sense from people that there's this, like, a defining moment, maybe in the, I hate to use a cliche, in the journey. Was there anything that kind of hit you full on?
Well, I suppose there was. This is a very odd story. It barely sounds believable now, but when I was 14 or 15... we used to go whitewater kayaking in the cooling outlets of Lotts Road Power Station.
Right.
I can't imagine that being allowed now. But it was bathwater warm.
Yeah.
Because it had been used in power generation. Yeah. And it made a perfect training site. And sailing past it this time, after it was closed, and it's been developed into luxury flats, would you believe it? Was quite a poignant moment. It's moments like that where you feel the passing of time.
Yes, I can see that. And I mean, is there anything else in the pipeline? Because, I mean, again, you talk to people who take on such experiences, such projects, they all think, I might do this next time, I might do something else. Or are you content with your round London in a small boat?
There'll be plenty more in the pipeline. I'm not quite sure what yet, so I'm going to have a quick break, but there'll be more small boat adventures for sure.
LBC 97.3.